In the name of God, in whom we live and move and have our being. Amen. Please be seated. It will be 4 years next month since my daughter Keelan was baptized, 4 years since our bishop held her over this very font, welcomed her officially into the community of faith, the church, 4 years since I stood here and answered the questions that I've asked so many times in my years as a priest. Will you be responsible for seeing that the child you present is brought up in the Christian faith and life? Will you, by your prayers and witness, help this child to grow into the full stature of Christ? At home, on my desk, I keep a picture of Keelan with Bishop Marianne on this occasion of Keelan's baptism to remind myself of what I promised and what Emma and I have been entrusted to do. And today, wonderfully, is a baptismal day in the church as we observe the festival of Pentecost. And it also gives us opportunity to reflect on the meaning of this sacrament, not just for those being baptized, but for all of us. And even though baptism itself is a once and for all time event in our Episcopal understanding, meaning that a person does not get rebaptized every time that person joins a new church or joins a new denomination, it's also true that baptism is not meant to be a once-and-done spiritual experience. That is, we're meant to live into our baptism. We're meant to continue to explore what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to be in relationship with God, what it means to take our faith seriously. Which might be cause for asking, how do we keep baptism from being simply a ritual that's nice in the moment, but that doesn't have deeper meaning? What is it that keeps us accountable to the promises that we make in baptism? What is it that keeps us moving forward in our spiritual lives, draws us into a deepening relationship with God? Well, that thing that helps us, assists us, that thing that keeps us accountable, inspires us and moves us forward, that thing which gives us a fresh perspective when we're stuck and that challenges us when we get complacent, that thing is the Holy Spirit. Today is about recognizing and celebrating the Holy Spirit, this day we call Pentecost. It's been 50 days now since Mary Magdalene found the tomb empty that Easter morning and encountered the risen Jesus. And this 50th day is sometimes known as the birthday of the church. It's the day when the church celebrates the giving of the Holy Spirit Jesus promised. It's the day when we hear the story of the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus' followers, inspiring them and enabling them to go and be his people in the world and spread the message of God's love. It's also this Spirit that we believe brings into this community of faith, moves believers everywhere to be baptized into this communion. So we can offer our thanks and our praise to the Spirit this day for bringing us here and for moving the parents, grandparents, families of Jace and Sky and Ricard to have their children baptized. And since this is a day of celebrating the Holy Spirit, we can also take a moment and wonder, you know, about these stories of how the Spirit is given to us. And interestingly, though perhaps not surprisingly, the Scriptures don't give us just one story on this. Spirit's a hard thing to pin down, after all. And so it makes sense that there are differing stories of how the Spirit came to be with us. In the Gospel of John this morning, we're told that after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples when they were still afraid. When the news the women brought of the tomb being empty and Jesus being raised had not yet become real to them. So John tells us that in this moment, Jesus breathed on them, the disciples, his fearful disciples, breathed the Holy Spirit and said, "Receive the Spirit from his breath." This is really reminiscent of the very beginning when God breathed the Spirit into the formless void and over the face of the waters, creating the earth and the heavens. And now Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit on and over and into his followers, inspiring them and enabling them to leave their locked room and go out into the world, bearing God's gift of love and grace to the people. That's the lesson from John. And then this lesson from Acts, the author describes rushing wind and flaming fire coming upon those who had assembled, giving them the ability to speak of God's love and the grace of Jesus in a way that everyone could understand. Even just those two lessons, we've got breath, we've got wind, we've got fire, we've got the Holy Spirit. Now, we could be thinking, well, that's nice, but really, what does it have to do with us? Right? We weren't actually there when Jesus breathed on his disciples this Holy Spirit. We weren't there when those tongues of fire came on the wind of the Spirit and made this community of Jesus followers into the church. I mean, we might be part of the church, but how do we know that this means we're also recipients of the Spirit? Well, the promise of the Spirit coming on all of us is also found in this lesson from Acts we heard this morning. The disciple Peter quotes from another part of Scripture, a prophet named Joel, making it clear that we are in fact included in this promise and this bestowing of the Spirit. What Joel says is, in the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Right, we might not have been there when Jesus breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples, or we might not have been there when the rushing wind and flame came upon them in Jerusalem, but we're promised that the Spirit is poured out on us too. And we might catch some resonance in this phrase, poured out, which is especially notable because Jesus says something similar, right? Which we hear every time we share bread and wine in the Holy Communion. Jesus took the cup, we say, he thanked God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all." And then likewise, we hear, "I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh," God promises. And we are the you that Jesus pours himself out for. We are the flesh God pours out the Spirit on. And it's not just a one and done thing. It's an ongoing promise. It's an ongoing process. When we are baptized, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are marked as Christ's own forever. We enter into an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we believe that the Spirit gives life to this water of baptism, that this water, this very water, is connected with the waters of the Jordan River in which Jesus himself was baptized, and that this water is connected with the waters of creation when God breathed the Spirit over the whole earth. And that this water is connected with the waters of the Red Sea through which the people of Israel moved from slavery and into freedom. And this water and the Spirit intertwine, and each carries the promise of the other in it. And so each time we participate in a baptism, that Spirit is renewed. Quite a mysterious, even mystical thing when you think about the Spirit that connects the primal waters of creation to the water we baptize these children in today. The Spirit that seals us in baptism and marks us as Christ's own connects us forever to the God who pours out the Spirit on us in this ongoing process of both invitation and renewal. So we're renewing our promises, we're welcoming new members into this community of faith, into this communion. We're renewed by the Holy Spirit, reminded of the promises we make. And then what happens? Right? Well, then we are meant to take our renewed and our forgiven and our blessed and sealed by the Holy Spirit selves. And we're meant to go out into the world and do the work that God has given us to do. We are to go out and to love and serve others, to work for justice and peace for all people, to respect the dignity of every human being as our promises in baptism compel us to do. Right, this very thing is what Jesus commissioned the disciples to do. And that's what Jesus commissions us to do as well, as we remind ourselves today of the Spirit that is poured out on us for this very purpose, right? It's what it means to live into our baptism, to never stop growing into that full stature of Christ. It doesn't stop when we hit the front doors of the church, but we're meant to go out into our daily lives, loving and serving. Right, that's what the Spirit is given for us to do, to inspire us and move us forward. And so this day of Pentecost, this day of celebration and renewal, this day of the Holy Spirit, may it be so for all of us. And may it be especially so for these children whom we welcome into this communion, the church. Amen.